This is the MagicWordPodcast.com.
Hello, this is Scott Wells for the MagicWordPodcast.com. Well, we are on our way to Columbus, Ohio for the annual Magi Fest. And I say annual, I think actually there were a couple of years that they didn't hold the Magi Fest. It has a very rich heritage. In the past, it was run by what were known as the Redcoats, and Jeff Hostetler, who is a past international president of the International Brotherhood of Magicians, headed up the group for a while, and they had other people who had worked within the club also. They wore red coats, meaning that it was easy then to find people who were the organizers to ask questions if you needed some directions or wanted to know when certain events were going to be happening, et cetera, et cetera. Well, anyhow, that for a while after Jeff had Jep, that's J-E-P, P as in president, had relinquished the duties and kind of felt like, okay, I'm going to pass it on. Then Ron Spangler took it over for a while, and he had other activities with his family and whatnot. Nevertheless, after a period of time, I think that, 45 years, or maybe Josh will tell us about this later. That's just kind of some of the history. You know, after about 45 years or so, they decided, well, I guess this is kind of run its course. And so it was just by laying fallow, basically, for then a couple of years before that Josh and Andy had taken over. That's Joshua Jay and Andy Gladwin of Vanishing Ink. And they started running that completely differently from what the other conventions had been run before. Specifically, that they don't have contests. I mean, traditional conventions will have contests. They have dealers, close-up shows, evening shows. And, you know, that's kind of the standard fare. And in this case, that is Josh and Andy, kind of patterned this, at least from my observation, from the Magic Live conventions, the success that Stan Allen has had over the years with his conventions, specifically where they have what I would call little TED Talks, or basically shorter conversations or lectures that are about rather esoteric types of subjects, magic related, but not necessarily teaching you tricks by any means. For an example, last year, I remember we had Doug Eisenberg who spoke about trademarking and your website and intellectual property, and he's an attorney, and I ended up doing a podcast with him then sometime later. And it was more specific about some of the details that he had alluded to during his presentation at the Magi Fest last year. Well, this year, I'm looking forward to one who is going to be a lot different from one we have seen or heard before. And I don't remember the gentleman's name, but as I understand it, that he was a concentration camp survivor as a child. He was doing magic, which saved him, I guess, and his magic has continued to grow and be a very important part of his life. So anyhow, I think that will be just a phenomenal conversation if I get a chance to sit down and chat with him about that, but also just to hear his talk. I'm looking forward to that. But among others, of course, the thing is, this year is one of the I guess in past years we've seen a decline in a lot of conventions, whereas that this convention, the Magi Fest, has continued to grow. And I was going to say that this actually has 150 more people than they have last year. In fact, the fire department has a code, obviously, of only a capacity of so many people within the area where they're going to be having the show, and as a result, not everybody is going to be able to have access then to the final night, Saturday night, gala show, myself included. I was one of the later registrants, and whenever I'd registered, they did not have any tickets left available. I could attend everything else except for the gala. But nevertheless, they were, as I understand it, expecting about 950 people, which are the kind of numbers that they used to host many, many years ago. Again, when Jeff Hostetler and the Redcoats were running that, they had the convention in downtown Columbus, and then they would bus us over to the theater. Now, it was just kind of across the river over there, so it wasn't too far, but it was a little bit of a walk. But typically, this time of the year, there's snow on the ground and it's blowing and cold, and so it, you know, they'd bust us over there. Nevertheless, it was a much larger thing. And also, this particular convention, the Magi Fest, is the one that tends to, in my opinion, kick off the year of magic conventions, at least across the U.S. Now, Andy and Josh also host the Session, which is a close-up kind of convention, as I understand it, in London. I have not yet attended that. That's on my bucket list for the future to attend. And I know that they have a lot of great performers and talent lined up there annually. And that event takes place the week before Magi Fest. So they have a lot of stuff, certainly, that they have going on at a very short amount of time. So they organize all this all year long, in addition to the Vanishing Ink company that they run. And, of course, with Josh's most recent release, which was Balance, which I highly recommend. It's really great. And I think warrants being perhaps nominated for the Trick of the Year for 2018. But nevertheless, they have a lot on their plate whenever they have to produce both the Session and the Magi Fest, pretty much back-to-back, weekend to weekend. So that is an exciting thing that I'm sure, as they get older, they might want to rethink this, but since they are such young people with a lot of vitality, I think it makes it perhaps a little bit easier for them. Well, nevertheless, some of the people that are going to be at this convention this year are big names that have obviously solicited a lot of support from the magic community to register early as they can. Specifically, some of the people that you may have read about who are going to be attending, as I understand, at least on the website, still shows Juan Tamaraz, obviously, as being one of the big names, and also Guy Hollingworth coming over from England. And both of them are going to be putting on workshops on Sunday. I believe that's the 21st. The convention runs the 17th through the 20th of January here, 2019. And others, you know, Howard Hamburg, I believe Eric Mead is going to be here. Jan Frisch, who was a FISM winner. Oh, golly, I'm trying to think of some of the other people offhand. I don't have that handy because actually, as I am talking to you now, I am driving on up to Columbus to the convention. And the reason I am is because I just want to take a little bit of leisurely time. That's why you hear the road noise here in the background. I've already stopped. In this case, I didn't stop by Dunkin' Donuts. I should have. But I went by Starbucks and just got my usual skinny latte. That was a vanilla grande latte, no foam. And just had then a sandwich muffin. And egg and bacon muffin to go. So just in case you want to know what I'm having to eat as I'm driving and talking. Well, I'm not eating while I'm talking. Nevertheless, I am going to stop in Nashville, Tennessee along the way. And Joey Martinez is the fellow who is general manager there at the House of Cards. And I'm anxious to talk with him. Jason, I forgot his last name. Jason is the fellow who is the entertainment director, who is my counterpart at the House of Cards. And so he books all the talent. Joey was the fella, many of you recognize him as being the person who was always the smiling face at the door of the Magic Castle. And this past year, 2018, that he moved over to Nashville with his family and took on this new job, then working at the House of Cards. So I've been in contact with Joey, and I'm looking forward to seeing him then on Saturday night on my way up to Columbus. So the drive to Nashville, actually, from Houston is not that bad. It's only about 12 or 13 hours. So I'll stop about partway here and then take it the rest of the way in. And so I'm not sure who's working at the there at the House of Cards, but we shall see. And I know it's going to be some fun, and I might even stop there on my way back from Columbus, just kind of as a partway, because I think it's about another 6 or 7 hours onto Columbus from Nashville to drive. Well, anyhow, we've got a long way to go, and that's why that I'm talking for such a long time, because I've got nothing but the highway stretching out in front of me, and a fine cup of Starbucks coffee and a sandwich to have. So, listen, I appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. I know this is going to be a really fine convention with some outstanding outstanding talent, and I hope there's some opportunity for me also to take some of these people aside for an extended conversation that I can then post in upcoming weeks. And I know we're coming up on episode 500. It's going to be still about 30 episodes from now, but I have got some exciting people planned between now and then for sure that you're going to be hearing and really enjoying. But for now, as we're on the road on Highway 59 North, heading north up along the east side of Texas on the way to Nashville and on to Columbus, Ohio on the Magi Fest. We'll see you a little bit later. This is Scotty out. Hello, this is Scott Wells for the Magic Word Podcast.com, and I've made it to Columbus, Ohio, and I'm here at the Crown Plaza Hotel, which is the site of the convention. And I know that if you guys are going to the website, to the Magic Word Podcast.com, that you see across the banner at the very top, there is a picture of the area in Columbus, kind of a skyline, but over to the side that you'll see a big picture of Howard Hamburg, who is going to be a featured lecturer tonight, and I've got him right now, the first guy you get to hear right off the bat. Hello, Howard.
Hello, hello, hello.
Awfully good to see you. You are a world traveler. You've been doing lectures every place all over.
Yes, I've been very, very fortunate. I just got back from Austria and after attending Escorial and then also Glasgow.
Mm-hmm. And were those conventions or just for a lecture tour?
There was a couple lectures and a couple workshops.
Okay.
I will share with your audience, in Glasgow, I was picked up by Eddie McCool, who was a wonderful magician. Mm-hmm. He took me to the hotel, and he said, would you be available in about an hour? And he knew that I didn't come from U.S. on a long flight, that I had come from Spain, I said, no, it'd be fine. So he picked me up in an hour. It was a typical drizzly day, cold, about 7 o'clock at night. And we drove about 15 minutes from the hotel to this beautiful, old, typical Scottish hotel.
Yeah.
And in the lobby, there were these big, oversized chairs where you fit in and you can't even know if anyone's sitting there. That's how big they are. And you could literally walk standing up through the fireplace. That's how the ambiance of this place was.
Kind of like a castle.
Right. And we're sitting there and we're having some refreshments and doing some stuff for each other and talking about magic in general. And he says, oh, they're here. And I stand up and he says, Howard, say hello to Andrew Galloway, Gordon Bruce, Roy Walton, George McBride, Peter Lanigan.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I'm not fibbing you. I got back after 3 hours back to the hotel room, and I broke down crying.
Wow.
I said,
I hope you got a picture of all those guys.
I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
You'll have to send me a copy of that.
I certainly will.
What an experience.
And they did effects.
Yeah, yeah. So you kind of sessioned for a little while there?
Andrew Galloway gave me a book about Ramsey from his library, and he said, I've been wanting to meet. Oh, my God, I can't believe this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What an experience.
Absolutely.
Wow. I'm kind of speechless after that. So in a thing like that, do you have like a pet secret trick that you don't teach in lectures and saying, I'm going to show you guys because I really respect it. I wanted to share with you.
Well, I'm known for this spelling effect.
Yes, you are. You name a card and you spell it, basically.
Well, what they do is they shuffle their deck.
Yeah.
And I tell them to give them a cut, and then I say, I have four questions. Is this your deck? They say yes. Have you shuffled it? They say yes. Have you cut and completed the cut? They say yes. And the fourth question is extremely important. During this process, have I touched the cards? Now, the reason I do that is in the past, I've done it with someone else's deck, and they say, well, it's probably in a stack. I says, it's your deck, and you shuffled it. But they forget this.
So you have to reiterate that.
And then I riffle the cards. They say stop. I hand them the deck. What was the card? And the six of diamonds. And they spell it, and there it is. That's the one that everyone wants to see because it's a borrowed deck.
Yeah, it's amazing. I always think of that as kind of like the trick that can't be explained, but it is different because the trick can't be explained. It's got other outs, but yours is spelling. You are always going to spell to it.
I'm going to spell to it. I might change the spelling around a little because I do pure
plural or singular.
I do pure estimation, so mm-hmm. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. right.
Wow. Wow.
Incidentally, I will tell you, your audience, something. If they've seen me do it, when you mentioned plural or singular, when I get to, let's say, the five of, and we know it's going to be spades.
Yes.
I say, it was a diamond, correctly? They say, no, it was a spade. If I said it was diamonds, they'll say, oh, no, it was spades. I don't want a plural. It was a diamond, yes? No, it was a spade. Go ahead. S. Now they, I don't sell, I said, just go ahead. Now they go S-P-A-D, and if it's on the E, I drop my voice. But I don't have to tell them to keep going to S, because in their minds, it's the five of spades. It isn't the five
of spades. You said a spade, or a diamond, so you're speaking singularly, so they were thinking that.
But when they hit the E and it's not there, they just go to the S, because it's never the five of spades in their mind.
Yes.
It's the five of spades. Boom, and not there, turn over the next card. So
right.
I just gave your audience a little tip of a little out of a window that I have for it where the audience doesn't even think about it.
That's very cool. Now, is that going to be one of the things you're going to be talking about in the lecture tonight?
Nope.
I was going to say, that's one of your pet effects that you really don't share.
I'll talk to you.
Well, thank you, buddy. And listeners are, if you haven't seen Howard do this trick, it's great. I've seen you do this at Castle several times. You get a chance to sit down with the new professor here.
No. So. There'll never be anybody to replace the professor.
Yeah. You always had the greatest stories. In fact, I want to encourage listeners to go back to that particular podcast and just do a search over there for Howard Hamburg. And I did a conversation with you and Newell Unford.
Yeah.
What one didn't tell, the other one did, and you just kind of told one story.
Well, that was at the castle. Yeah, I remember. Yeah, that was fun. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, but I'm going to be sharing stories tonight because I think it's important that the present generation hears some of them. I don't want them to ever forget the shoulders of the giants that they stood upon that gave them everything they've got today. I'm so afraid, I swear, someone's going to say, who is Di Vernon? I mean, it's happening now.
Yeah. Well, you know, this is interesting that after the podcast, I had a couple of people who had posted some comments or sent me an email who had said, love the stories, but there are a lot of things out there about Di Vernon. I'd like to hear about some of the other guys, maybe Charlie Miller or, some of the other people.
I've got a lot about, I knew Charlie for 24 years and Vernon for 22.
Yeah.
And I have stories about Francis Carlisle, Jimmy Grippo, Cuda Bucks. But there's only so much time that you can...
Well, that's true. We almost need to do a separate podcast then for each person we're talking about, because you probably have so many stories that are deep about all these guys.
And it's just not the card trick.
Yeah.
As Vernon would say, it's the journey to it.
That's right.
It's not the trick. The trick means nothing.
That's right. It seems like I thought you told me a story about Francis Carlisle and... drinking and driving or something.
I won't use his name.
Okay.
This is not fair, but it was a hustler, a mechanic.
Yeah.
There was a situation with Charlie Miller. We went to a restaurant, and we're going to come back to the castle, and it was a dark area of Sunset Boulevard. And Charlie says, stop the car. And I got scared. I thought I hit somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And I looked in my mirror, and I pulled over to the side. I said, Charlie, what's wrong? I was shaking. And he rolled the window down, and he pointed to between two houses was a big empty lot. He said, 35 years ago, one of the best bottom dealers I ever knew had a house here.
Just had to point that out, yeah.
Yeah, right.
That is funny. Another guy that I was going to ask you about, of course, that you must have known, that was in the early years, his name just escaped me. His picture's in the close-up room, and he's holding the seven of diamonds. I can remember that just a second.
His name is Jay Osi.
Jay Osi, thank you. You knew Jay, I guess.
Absolutely. Not too long.
Yeah.
He died in the early 60s.
Mm-hmm. Cancer, wasn't it?
I can't remember, but Jay was wonderful. He was such a great guy.
Did he have an engaging personality like Don Lawton, kind of a funny guy, or what was he?
Yeah, his skill was the memory. That's why he was actually the first host.
He remembered people's names who would come in and he would welcome them.
Then 6 months later, someone would come in and says, hey, Bob, hi. Hey, by the way, your daughter Lucy was in her third year at UCLA studying mathematics. How's she doing? And how's your wife Linda doing? Told me she was in an auto accident about a year ago. Oh, just phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's what you really need in a host, because that keeps people coming back saying, oh, they remember me.
His type of... persona influenced Vernon.
Oh, did it really? Yes. That's an interesting story.
Vernon just loved the way he was in his persona with people. And he often, a guy mentioned to me that he that was very influential when he met J.O.C.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, that I think it's important that you remember people's names also. And I have found in the past also, like when you're performing and you're walking around doing close-up, and then at the end of the evening, and I'll say, hey, thank you, Bob, thank you, Stephen, you know. And
it means remember a lot to them.
Absolutely does.
It means a lot.
You know, that was something that if I was going to be giving a tip to young people or anybody, even if they've been doing magic for a while, is to concentrate on your memory skills of people's names, because there's nothing more important than a person's name.
I used to, I talked this over with a few fellas. I won't go into detail, but it's going to take a longer time.
Yeah.
I'll do it for you some other time. But the bottom line is I'm able to acquire the person's business card without him being suspect of anything, of why am I asking, because I had asked him for, he had asked me for my business card.
Yeah,
because he saw, and I went in my pocket and I said, gee, I wore the wrong jacket. I'm sorry, may I have yours? If I just ask him point blank, he'll be guarded. But if he's asked me for mine.
Yeah.
So now I don't have it. I ask him for his.
Yeah.
He gives it to me. I put it in my jacket pocket. And I say, oh, they're up in this pocket. And I give him my card. Now, my card costs $5 a thousand. Uh-huh. You know what happens to 99 cards out of 100.
They end up in the trash.
They end up in the trash. So I don't care what happens. I've got his. Mm-hmm. Now I write something down, including the date. I call him in 10 days. And I said, hi, this Fred, this is Howard. We met at the Johnson party. I really thoroughly enjoyed our conversation. By the way, you had a red and white tie on that had some little stripes of green in it. I've been looking for that tie. Where did you get it?
Yeah. Wow.
So I'll mark something down about the guy.
Little details.
Little detail. And, you had these glasses you were wearing and the
I like
earpieces.
The rims.
Yeah. And now all of a sudden you, wow. And that's how.
And there's a good reason for you calling them back. It's not like you're calling to try and book a show, but it's kind of like, hey, we talked, you gave me your card.
Right.
I'm just kind of following because I've been thinking about that.
But then
completely
I'll
unrelated to magic.
Right. And then I'll ask him about, you know, just, you know, I like the tie tech you had on. It had RJ6 on it. What was the meaning of that?
Yeah. I like that. Good tip. Good. Harold, good luck tonight on the lecture.
Thanks,
you going to be performing also? Or doing...
No, I'm doing a lecture. Joshua is going to say hello and greet the 1,000 people that are here.
That's amazing.
And then the curtain opens, and there I am doing a one-hour type of lecture.
And then
I think I'm going to concentrate on maybe telling some stories. I think
love them.
For an hour, it takes me an hour to say hello.
I know, and I love talking with you every chance we get to sit down.
Likewise.
And briefly then also, are you going to be done after tonight, or will you be something else?
No, I'm going to take it in. He's got a lot of fine, you know, Tom Reese and Hollingworth a lot of fine.
But I mean, as far as your participation.
Oh, I'm gratefully finished.
Okay, yeah. You can relax and enjoy Juan and everybody.
Enjoy everybody.
That's right. Well, good. Howard, thanks very much.
You're
always
welcome,
good to see you, my friend.
It's always nice
talk
to see
you later.
You.
For the Magic Word Podcast, that was Howard Hamburg. This is Scotty out. All right. Well, as we're hanging out over here in the lobby, having just registered for the convention, we actually haven't registered for the convention. They haven't even opened that up over here yet. And and the lobby is just really full. Not just people who are just waiting to go and register, but people who are just waiting to hang out. And I run into a friend here who was actually with us at the Texas Association of Magicians, Xavier Spade. Hey, Xavier.
That's me. How you doing?
Fantastic. Good to have you over here.
Yeah.
So, have you been to this convention before?
Many times.
In the past, because you're from this neck of the woods? You're from the Midwest?
No, I'm from New York City.
Oh, you are from the city?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, it's closer here than Houston, where we are. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyhow, so you flew out this afternoon?
Yeah, I stopped driving about 3 years ago out here. 13-hour drives versus a two-hour flight.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an idiot. I drove. I came up from Houston, so it's a long way.
Some people are into pain.
That's right. You got that right. That's right. I'm a masochist. I know that a lot of people come here and hang out, and the fact this has been sold out since November, and so you're just one of the hanger-outers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you like to come, as you said, you've been in the past, and what is it about this convention that brings you back?
Well, at first I came to this convention because I used to do a lot of the filming for Vanishing Ink. So I would come down and film their projects, and then I'd have like maybe 5 or 10 minutes to hang out afterwards. But then I started my own company, and this was the first convention that I had a booth at. And now that I'm doing YouTube and social media stuff, this is like the second largest convention in the U.S. So it's one of the chances where you get to hang out with people that you don't get to see very often.
And network, too.
And network, yeah.
Because you might find somebody who said, hey, you know, that I've got an idea that I'd like to do a DVD, yeah. And you say, hey, I'm the video guy.
Well, you know the truth. I don't even look for that anymore.
Don't you? They come to you? Or
no, I just, I literally come to film content and to hang out and to have a little bit of me time at a magic convention, you know?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you session? Do you hang out like the tables late night and all too?
Oh, yeah. The bar is right next to the table, so it's really easy.
Yeah. And what I like about that too, the bar is open late, and that when I come down here, I mean, it's 2 or 3 in the morning, and there's still a lot of people. I say kids, I mean, like our teenagers.
Yeah. Even younger. Yeah. Even younger. I don't see many conventions other than like this and Magic Live where people are really sessioning.
That's right. That's right.
And not even just sessioning, but even the guys who are working the conventions, like the lecturers and stuff, they'll come and session too.
That's what I think is kind of cool. You hit it on the head. I remember last year seeing Tom Gagnon over there, and he was with kids who were, I say, kids 11, 12 years old at the table. Yeah. And he's just sharing, and these kids have chops too, you know.
Yeah, and actually a few years ago when Tamariz was here, Tamariz did the same thing. Mm-hmm. He literally walked up and down these halls, and whoever was on the floor, he'd just sit down with them and spend some time, and you don't see that.
You really don't. You know, like you're exactly right, Xavier. Whenever that most conventions, they will have, you know, contests and shows and whatever, and again, it gets a little bit...
Well, there's a big separation between the talent versus the, I guess...
Registrants.
The registrants, yeah. And that's just not here.
Yeah. That's true. I think people come here really to learn and to share ideas. Yeah. You know, that's what, like at the 4F convention, that's what we do, is we have a lot that we share with one another. And the same way I see a lot here, that it's just a larger 4F convention in a way. You know?
Yeah, and you know, it's a lot of times what I've seen the most is I see less about the session and more just people excited to be around other people who love what they love.
Yes, yeah. You know, that is important, I think, to have people, you know, who are going to be... enjoying themselves,
right.
I guess, and learning along the way, you know. And I'm sure that people are going back home and saying, man, you know, this was just overload. I mean, what was it I learned? And so I think it's important to take notes. I know that in past years that with your registration, you get a little notebook to kind
it
of jot down.
It has note area in the back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, well, no, not just the thing in the back, but I mean, there was like a blank notebook that with a pen and everything so that you could actually
Right.
I'll show you later, but I got one of my briefcases they gave
us
out before. And because there are a lot of times like this that you'll learn something that someone will say, well, you know, that you count 3 cards down or whatever, and you kind of forget.
Well, what I've been seeing lately, you know, advent of technology. People just pull out their cell phone.
Well,
hey, can I record
too.
It?
You're right. And you know, you hit on a good point. You have to ask, can I record it? Because you don't want to pull it out and say, hey, what you doing?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know? Respect.
Respect. It's all about that. And I think that some people...
But I feel the same way about taking notes.
Really?
Yeah. If for me, it's about the transfer of information. So if I'm showing you something and you're going to start taking notes, that's you trying to get that information. Same way as if you film it. So for me, if I'm going to show you something, you're going to take notes. I feel it's the same respect to say, hey, do you mind if I write this down so I can remember it? It's the same as saying, hey, can I record this?
Well, I see what you're saying. When I was thinking, though, that if you're recording, you're also getting the person's personality and their performance persona, if you will, and how they do it. Whereas if you write it down, you're not going to be becoming a clone of that person.
Yeah,
you're going to come up with your own idea and presentation.
I agree with you 100%. But I think for me, it's just that core idea of the transference of information.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, that makes sense, certainly. Yeah, but I think, again, that you got a good point that you do have to ask, and it's respect.
Sure. And that's what it is, sure.
And I think that's something that young people... You know, or needing to learn, you know, and that
they never learned.
Yeah, that's right. This is the place to do that. You know,
yeah.
That I think.
And you know, like I do a lot of social media stuff and YouTube stuff, and I still come to these conventions and I bring my camera specifically to show people that don't have access or know about these things what goes on here.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why on my YouTube channel I specifically go to conventions.
Yeah. And so when people want to subscribe to your YouTube channel, it's Xavier Spade?
Xavier Spade with an O, X-A-V-I-O-R.
O-R, not, okay,
O-R,
E-R.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. And Are you still, the one last question about the Vantage Inc., are you still recording and doing stuff for them? Or
No, that stopped about 6 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because they've got their own studio, I guess, out in Sacramento now, don't they?
I have no idea. Okay. Yeah, it was just, you know, Josh lived near me and he wanted to do projects, so I would just drive over and film.
Are you a New York resident? I mean, a native, I should say?
Yeah, born and raised.
Okay, great.
Yeah, one of the few.
So how did you like the TAOM last year? How did you like our convention?
I liked it. There was a few things I didn't like. I think they were, the main reason was, for the thing I didn't like, there was literally no session. There was like no hanging out whatsoever. Yeah. And there was a very big separation between the old and the young.
Good point.
And there was less of a thing about the convention and more about the shows. And I think those three things kind of tore people away from sitting around and just spending time with each other,
right,
and rushing to go to this show because that was the focus.
That's a good point. Yeah, and that's not necessarily the thing here.
No. And also the hotel was quite large.
Yeah.
So even if you were sessioning, like here, it's a big hotel, but there's small areas. So when you walk in, there's a small area where everybody is as opposed to a large open area where it can look sparse and then people just kind of walk away.
Well, here also we command the whole hotel. I mean, every room is taken up by magicians.
Right.
When we were at the TAOM, we were just a small part. There was another convention of like 1,100 people going
on.
Right. So we were swallowed up, that's true.
Yeah. You know, but I think if there was more thing, like I noticed that conventions that have this, they run events specifically to get people together. Specifically for not to be a lecture or not to be a show. It's like, hey, we're going to do this contest in the lobby. We're going to do this in this room. And they drag people to come together and make people spend some time where they probably otherwise wouldn't have.
Right. Well, it's good to see you. I'm glad
you're
here.
Thanks, man. Good to see you. Yeah.
Okay. Take care. So with Magic Word Podcast, that was Xavier Spade. This is Scotty out. All right, well, we're still hanging around the lobby over here, and I've got a few people I think that you'd like to hear from, and a couple of guys that actually I had dedicated a whole podcast to, Raj Madok. Hey, Raj.
Hello.
And Rick Wilcox.
Hey.
And also that you've heard Scott Alexander.
You do that every time.
I do. Scott Robinson, also all over here
so
as well.
So you've never dedicated a whole podcast to me.
I haven't,
so I'm the man.
Maybe
out.
We can talk later.
I don't know.
You should talk about tricks.
Yeah.
Trick.
Yeah,
what is
Trick?
Tell me
about
Trick.
Tricks.
Yeah.
It's a close-up convention. It's a great magic convention.
I know. I wanted to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to.
It's in November. November 7th, 8th, and 9th.
I keep saying that.
It's kind of limited. Kind of like the 4F, though, too. Is it small size?
But it's small. It's 150 people. Yeah. But it's not you don't have to have an invitation.
Okay.
Yeah. First come, first serve.
First come, first serve.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of, you know, Pebble Palooza is another one. Have you ever been to Pebble?
I have been to Pebble.
I'm going to Pebble next
month. I'm going this year,
you're
too.
You're going to be Pebble? Okay, I'll be there.
I'll probably be there.
Yeah. And that's a small one. And, you know, I was going to put that on the convention guide. Matter of fact, I did. But as I did, I sent an email to Lance, and I said, should I do this? He said, please don't, because then I don't know who's going to be coming, and I don't know the quality of some of the people who
and
might just be.
Sold
so
out.
And they get sold out.
They are sold out.
Oh, are they now?
Pebble is sold out.
I'm glad that I got in. You need to go to that, Rick, sometimes, too.
Okay.
It's fun.
I don't know about it yet.
It's a session-based convention.
Okay.
Yeah. Usually have four people that are the talent, but most of it's around sessioning. It's great. A lot of fun.
Is that one of the reasons that you guys come to this convention? Because I can see everybody sessioning here. We haven't even registered yet.
It's not the same as sessioning at 4F or...
Yeah. Or at Trix. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot bigger. This is only my second time at Magi Fest, and it's great. It's unusual talent. Great lineup this year. But it's more about friends. I think it's less about sessioning.
Yeah, and plus Josh, he does a really nice job putting Josh and Andy do a great job putting the acts together and
great talent.
Yeah,
really good talent.
I think that's, in my opinion, what brought an additional 150 people here this year. You know, with Juan Tamariz.
So excited because my wife, for the first time, she never goes to conventions. She came with me this time.
She wanted to come.
She did not want to come, but she's here because I said she has to see Tamariz.
Oh, she's never seen Tamariz.
I am so excited for her that she gets
good.
To see Tamariz.
And seeing Tamariz live is unlike seeing him on tape.
No, it's not the same.
So many people say, I saw him on tape. No. It's kind of goofy. No. When you're in his presence, he's the maestro. Yeah, it's magic.
Were you at Factors whenever he was the...
Yes. We were all like kids. We were like so cool.
It literally felt like we had no idea how any of this stuff worked.
It's like going back to being a non-magician for the first time in your life.
I got to sit at the table with him. I was a volunteer that sat with him. I don't know how he did it. It's like, this is amazing.
He's fabulous.
Yeah. It's nice to have that feeling.
Yeah,
you know?
Were you there?
I wasn't there. No, okay. I missed that.
Because you started the 4F about when? About 12 years ago? 15
probably,
years ago?
Yeah, is 1992?
Okay.
No, 2002. 2002.
So about 16 years ago.
You should talk to Matt Baker, who's here, because Matt was one of four international students that Juan had a few months ago in Spain.
Yeah, so matter of fact, Matt canceled coming to Trix so he could go to the thing with Juan.
I don't know how I feel about that, when he was in at the Collector's Workshop convention.
Wow, that was
do you remember those?
Yeah. And the one in D.C.?
Yep.
Yeah.
You remember seeing him there in the lobby just... fooling people.
That's when he fools you in the lobby late at night.
You know what amazes me the most is how he's still like a kid. He still stays up to all hours of the night. I can't do it anymore.
He sleeps all day, comes out at night.
That's true.
I've talked with Gary Plant. Some of the guys have gone over there, you know, and they say they're up until the morning, and then they kind of sleep.
The best stuff happens at 3 in the morning.
Exactly. And you're right about that, Scott, because I was just talking to Xavier Spade a while ago, and he was saying a few years ago when Juan was here, he was just, you know, he'd sit down on the floor with some 11-year-old kid. I mean, they were just kind of sessioning all the time. He's just really open and able.
Small lobby, one table would be like 20 people deep. There's people standing on bar stools and on the bar trying to see what Juan is doing.
Yeah, amazing. That's a great time. Well, this is going to be a great convention. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad you guys are here. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we're
great seeing you,
Scott.
Good to see you, Magic Word Podcast. This is Scott Young. So, Scott Welch for the Magic Word Podcast again, and we are now in line. They have opened the registration for us, and I guess I should have gotten in line early because now it's about... Oh, what would you say, quarter mile deep or half mile?
It's as far as the eye can see.
As far as we can see. So we may be here for a little while. I'm not going to bore you the whole time, but I am going to be talking with my friend Steve Bryant. Hey there, Steve.
Hi, Scott.
Glad to have you here. And for those of you who have heard Steve before or have not heard Steve before, he's the one who is the editor of the Little Egypt Gazette.com. You are no longer really having the website, but you have then still a journal each month.
I still have a blog each month called Little Egypt Magic. Scott's showing his age by saying Little Egypt Gazette because that was back in 1995.
Yeah. Well, it's only about, 25 years ago or so?
Getting there.
And so with the Little Egypt, that each month that you kind of give reviews of books that you're buying because you're constantly reading and getting and learning new stuff.
Yeah, really what the blog is, it's my diary. It's what I look at. I go back and all the past issues are there back to 95. And I can look up what I wrote, what I liked or didn't like. Well, excuse me, what I liked about a book. I usually don't say what I don't like.
Well, you don't.
If I don't like something, I don't even talk about it.
You just leave it out. Oh, that's why you haven't.
I don't want to make enemies.
Okay. Well, I understand that. And you could, because not everything is all great. There is some crap, and so you just don't address it.
There is definitely some crap out there.
That's why you don't talk about my podcast all the time, I guess. So, no, you do. You said some very nice things on
I'm keeping up. So, I just enjoyed Michael Goudreau.
Yeah,
and I'm starting Joy to See.
Yes. That was a fun one. The next one's going to be Chad Long, and then, of course, that.
Oh, I take it back. I did hear Chad.
Did you hear Chad?
Yeah, okay. That was a good one, too.
Yeah, thank you. You've been coming to this convention for how long?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I hate to say what age I just turned, but I didn't get into any conventions. I had no disposable income or no disposable time until my 40s. Up until then, all my knowledge of magic conventions came from Bill Larson.
Wow, okay.
And Genie.
Genie Magazine, where he was always,
But my website is basically my diary. It's what I read that month or did that month or saw that month. And if it appeals to anybody else, that's great.
Well, it appeals to me. I like it then also. And you've written your own book, even, in fact. Was it a children's book? It was a while back?
I have four magic books and two novels.
Yeah. The Book of Ghosts, or what was that one?
The most recent two magic books were the Little Egypt Book of Numbers, which honestly... an unbiased opinion. It had some great stuff in it, and it goes for a song from H&R Magic Books. The other, which sold out almost immediately, was the Little Egypt Book of Ghosts. That was a compendium of all the spooky magic we did over the years when my kids were growing up and having Halloween parties. up until they got tired of it and we moved to an adult situation in a bar in Illinois.
Because you live in southern Illinois still? Or?
I don't. I live in Bloomington, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
I come from Cairo, Illinois, which is the southern tip of the state.
Which is where the name...
That's the name Little Egypt.
Yeah, because Little Egypt, for those who don't know, is the southern part of Illinois. That there is kind of a line that delineates where that it starts to get hilly and more forested, but more importantly, it is a very fertile part of the state.
Right.
And so they call that, it used to be that whenever they were up north, they were going down to Little Egypt. And they would cross down and into southern Illinois back in our, because that's where I'm from too.
You're from the Carbondale area,
yeah,
right?
That's right. I went to school at Carbondale, SIU. And so, you know, I just listened to a podcast this last week about R. Buckminster Fuller. And I knew that he was, of course, he wrote, made geodesic domes and everything. It was on a podcast, which I recommend. It's called Stuff You Should Know. It's a great podcast.
Cool.
But anyhow, I didn't know that he actually was from Carbondale. I thought he moved there, but actually he was.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Buckminster Fuller was from there. So as far as this convention, you come every year, so I know some people come to conventions. It doesn't really matter who's here, but this year we got some special people.
Some very special people, namely Juan Tamarez, Jan Frisch, Guy Hollingworth, and Scott and Josh and Andy always have some new young guys, too.
Yes.
For pure comedy, Harrison Greenbaum is going to be back, I think.
Oh, he is funny.
He is very funny.
Yes. And then also we've got
some
surprise guests, too.
And I don't know those surprises.
I have heard that I can't tell. That are going to be kind of exciting because that they've been seen around the convention, but they haven't said whether they're going to be a part of it, but it's like I think they surely must be here for a reason.
Sure.
But nevertheless.
Well, some of the best magic at Magi Fest happens late night in the lobby.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Tamara's held forth a few years ago and just stunned everybody. So it's a big toss-up decision when it gets about 11:30, midnight, 1 a.m., whether you go see the scheduled entertainer or you drift into the lobby and watch what's going on there.
Well, that's a good point. I was just talking with Xavier Spade, who said he's not actually registered for the convention. He just comes to hang out. And a lot of people, I think, do that. And particularly this year, since it was sold out, I don't think that stopped people from coming.
Oh, totally. You can have fun here without registering at all.
Yeah.
Shouldn't tell Josh and Andy that.
Well,
you can.
But you can learn a ton of stuff out there sessioning, as you said. And what I heard like about when Juan was there, people were standing up on the chairs and looking over, I guess.
Oh,
it was,
absolutely.
Yeah, it was crazy, crazy. So anybody in particular that you're wanting to make sure for, other than Juan, I guess, that you want to see?
Actually, my number one guy, and he's going to give a lecture at 7 o'clock, 7:05, is Howard Hamburg.
Yep.
I've seen Howard many years. I know of him, but I've never seen him lecture. So I'm looking forward to that more than anything.
That's going to be really great. I'm sure that's going to be pretty full as people start to arrive. Not everybody's going to be here in time, but perhaps after that is over, we can go get a martini since it's Thursday night here then as well.
Yeah.
Steve, thank you very much. Always good talking to you.
You're welcome. You too, Scott. Bye.
For the Magic Word Podcast. I was Steve Bryan. Scotty out. All right. Well, we're standing in line, and one of the organizers here welcoming us as we are waiting to register, Mr. Joshua Jay. Hey, Josh.
Hey, Scott. How are you?
Fine. And so you have 150 more people this year than last year.
220 more people.
Wow.
Yeah.
For a total of how many?
It's going to be, when you count
over
dealers and volunteers and performers, over 1,000.
Wow.
So and 940 registered and, you know, plus overage. Yeah.
Yeah. I know you got some surprises and everything coming, too.
We do. We have a couple surprise events and, you know, the usual things we do. When you get up to the front, you'll see a couple of cool little things everybody gets. And we've redone some things. And, yeah, we're always trying to improve in small ways.
Looking forward to this. This is number what, 6 or 7?
87. 87 and 8 for us.
87, 8 for you and Andy.
8 for you, yeah.
Okay. Now, it was actually not doing anything for a couple of years, is that right?
No,
I mean, after the JEP had turned over to Ron Spangler.
It never missed a year.
Okay.
No, it never missed a year. We took over and launched it right away.
Yeah.
So we had 1 year where we just kind of threw it together rather quickly, and then since then it's been running annually.
And then you have the session that goes in London like a week,
just
a weekend
came for it. Just came from it.
How many people attend that?
650 people.
Wow.
We had Matt King headline and Ben Seidman. You know, sometimes we book different lineups, but when one person we think fits really well in one, and then we can use them the next year at the one or the other.
Right.
So this year we have Adam Rubin at Magi Fest because he was so wonderful at the session.
Yeah.
Last year, Ben Seidman.
Never been here.
Yeah, Ben was so great, and so we brought him over to the session.
Great. Well, I know you got to say hello to everybody else. Everybody, thanks very much for having done a good job.
Thank you.
Joshua J. Scotty out. the Howard Hamburg Lecture, and we've got a lot going on. A lot of people I've spoken to earlier and just came from the dealer's room, and they've kind of reconfigured that a little bit differently, so it's not quite as crowded. They moved some people out into another corridor area, made the aisles wider. Instead of having three aisles, they just have two right now, so it provides for a little bit better flow, but it's still pretty busy when you stop to think that we've got over 1,000 registrants over here, and one of the registrants I'm talking to right now is one of the patrons of the Magic Word, and I want to say hello to Nancy Anderson. Hey, Nancy.
Hello, Scott. I've been looking forward to meeting you.
Thank you.
This is my third year coming to this conference, and I'm going to tell you, it's just magnificent. I'm here surrounded with good friends from the Conjure community. They're all members of Conjure community. I am based in Chicago, and I'm a member of the Chicago Magic Lounge Roundtable.
Roundtable.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So it's been a real fun ride.
And you were working there. It seems like I saw recently that they had a ladies working. It was Carissa Hendricks and some others.
Carissa, yes, yes. We had Women in Magic.
That was it, yeah.
And I had a chance to work along with her, and yes, it was a lot of fun.
And I saw also that you were doing some things with the hospital, which is great.
I do, yes. I'm a hospital magician for an association called Open Heart Magic.
Okay.
So we go and we bring magic to sick children, and it's fantastic.
Now, how often do you do this? Monthly or?
No, I do it every other Thursday.
Oh, really? Okay, that's pretty frequent.
Big commitment.
Now, are there other magicians who work with you?
Yes. We have typically five magicians a shift, and we go there Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Wow, that's pretty often. See, because in Houston we do this as well, but ours is only once a month. And because there's some people that can only make a commitment for, you know, certain days. And the way, I mean, there are other things. They have some clowns. I don't know what all. They got a lot of things going on.
We don't believe in clowns.
Well, that's why we don't work with clowns either. But that, they're on another day.
Yeah, that's right. This is it. Open Heart Magic.
She's wearing a wristband here.
And it says, believe in magic.
I like that. Yep. Do you give those to
the kids.
To the kids as well?
They get this. They get bicycle decks. And they get a wand.
That's pretty cool.
And we get a chance to teach them one or two tricks.
Oh, so, you really do teach them tricks. Okay.
Yep.
Now, when you do that, do you go room to room, or is it all just in one large room where they all come and congregate?
No, room by room.
Okay.
And the families typically come around, and they help to cheer up the kid, and the kids are really looking forward to just going away from their pain.
Sure.
You know.
And also for the parents and the families who are in there, because they're having to live with that really serious matter, you know, and they need to have a little bit of laughter, you know.
Yeah, a little bit of a break. That's right.
Yes. Because what we do is a little bit different than which that we would have the children's hospital. We go room to room, and we have anywhere from three to six of us, depending upon the day that we'll do it. And we go kind of floor to floor. And it depends also upon, you know, what time of the day it is. Sometimes the kids are not in the room, they're in class.
That
because
is true.
They do teach in class at the hospital.
That's
which
true.
I assume they do in Chicago
there
as well. And then an alternate months, then we have a larger room at another hospital, and all the kids are brought in, and we do a stage show for them.
Okay. That's right. Yeah. That's right. Our hospital, I'm assigned to the University of Chicago Commerce Children's Hospital, but we have at least 28 different hospitals in Chicago.
Wow.
And a lot of volunteers. And we get together once a year to just kind of gather as a summit, and we do our own magic convention.
Do they talk to you about effects that work in hospitals and those that don't? Because, for an example, I can't do sponge balls and things like that. You know, you can't let them take germs from room to room.
Correct. Yeah. We are very careful. We also go into isolated rooms, so we have to leave everything behind and just put on the mask and the gloves and the...
Oh, you wear a mask and gloves in as well? Because there are some rooms in which we don't go in if it says no contact or...
We whatever. Go.
You do?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, we get approved to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been real fun.
Now, if there are some Chicago magicians who want to help, how would they get to
that? Oh, thank you. Yes, please. Just go into the website, www.openheartmagic.org, and please just register. We train magicians twice a year. I'm one of the trainers as well. And we get a chance to really put them out after 12 weeks of intensive training. I know it's going to start. Let's do it.
We got 3 minutes, real quickly, in this next minute or two. I know you've been a listener for a long time,
yes,
and
I thank you
very much. What is it that hooked you? What do you like about the podcast that you would tell other people why they should listen?
Yes, of course. It's one of the ways to really get to know the history of magic. I'm a new magician. I've only been doing magic for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
and I have learned about who is who in magic.
Right.
I've learned about books. People talk about their backgrounds, and most people started when they were kids. So it's kind of fun to be at my age now trying to learn about magic.
Sure.
And know that there is hope. Yeah. I can be one of them. So
I'm glad that the podcast can provide you that. That's
yes.
great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for doing it, too.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So for the Magic Word Podcast, we're getting ready to hear Howard Hamburg's lecture. That was Nancy Anderson. Scotty out. Hey, so the evening is pretty much kind of drawing to a close. A close. I've had enough martinis. I'm here with Danny Garcia, and we're about to talk about Blake Vaught, and we should go in. I was not going to go see his lecture because I saw it at Magic Live and talk about splitting bills, but you said it's going to be different.
Yeah.
So I got Danny Garcia. Hey, Danny Garcia.
What's
buddy.
Happening, buddy? You doing good?
Yeah.
Why, how are you going to say too many martinis? I don't think that's a...
Too many?
That's not a... I don't think that exists, sir.
Well, this is a Thursday night, so I'm enjoying my night.
Yeah, it's a Friday night somewhere. Blake's
awesome. What's he going to talk about,
amazing.
You think?
You know what? He's going to do things from his touring show.
So
he's doing a little touring show right now. So he's going to do a few things from that. He's going to explain some of his thinking, some process behind that. So, he's one of the most cleverest guys, most creative guys right now. So he's just his thinking is so great. Super, super clever guy. So you definitely don't want to miss it.
Have you known Blake for a long time?
I've known Blake.
Last call.
So what she want to know is...
Can I have some popcorn?
So Blake,
we just ordered a martini. Have some popcorn.
Oh, my God, thank you.
There's some popcorn.
Please,
and you want some almonds?
Oh, my God, no thanks. But I would love a whiskey sour.
So she would love a whiskey sour. So we're going to try to order her a whiskey sour. And, yes, Blake is amazing.
I'm glad I interrupted this. I'm so sorry.
That's okay.
I apologize.
So
we don't know who that was at all. She literally just came up, and she was like, I see popcorn. She did the lizard. She was like, it was amazing.
You got a lizard. Like a gecko or something.
You see my insurance. Yeah, Blake's going to be amazing. He's going to be awesome.
Okay, so Blake's good.
You're amazing, sir.
Hey, the martinis are here.
And whatever this lady would look.
Okay, thank you very much.
We just had
our martinis. So
I think this is not dirty.
I don't want dirty. I want regular.
Yeah, that looks regular. This one looks dirty to me.
Okay. You can have that one.
Cheers, sir.
Cheers to you, Danny.
Yeah, buddy.
Okay, do you?
She's got a whiskey sour coming for her. I think. I said it, right? Yeah, there
yeah,
it is.
Definitely. That's good. That's great. So, you have been traveling around the world that we live in Houston together. We can see each other all the time.
Yes, sir.
But have you been thinking about moving to Los Angeles?
I really don't know. You know, I have there's a very special place in my heart for Houston. And I love Houston a lot. I love the culture. I love the people. I love the real estate. I mean, everything about Houston is super dope. So
you got so many friends. You, Alex, and everybody.
Yeah, my family's
David,
there.
And your family and everybody.
And you say friends. My friends are my family as well. So,
of course.
I don't know. People say there's opportunities in other places, but it's one of those things, man. It just comes as it goes, right? Just if it,
yeah, but, you
it
know,
happens,
the people
happens.
You work with, like David Blaine and so many other guys, you know, and Rico,
yeah.
You know, lives in other places. And so you can kind of travel New York or L.A.
Well, you know, if you think about it, all the consulting I do, it's never, like the longest consulting gig that I normally do is Blaine, because we'll normally film for 6-7 months. So I'm there. I basically moved to New York. But I have a place to live in. My card went through. I'm joking.
Yeah, his credit card worked. Hey, that's cool. Yeah, it processed.
That's why I live in Houston, bro.
He just bought the martinis for this evening, and he was surprised his credit card worked.
The thing is, I travel so much. I got that for you, dear. No worries at all. On me. Thank you guys so much. She's part of
the short.
I just want the stem of that cherry. That's what I said. Yeah.
You're going to tie it into a knot.
So I did a, just real quick, just so they don't think that just some weird girl just kind of ran up to us. I did a private workshop earlier. So there's a group of magicians out of New York called the Magnets. There's about 25 guys, 30 members, not guys. Like I say guys is a general term. So they hired me to do a private workshop just for them before the convention started.
Okay.
So and she's one of the members of the Magnets. And that group is so amazing.
Buddy.
Oh, cheers, buddy. Cheers, cheers. Definitely. I
Martini.
It's a great martini, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, so they did that, and she came. That group was amazing, man. So, but before that, we were talking about
David Blaine, and yep. You're going to be working.
Yeah, I'm going to do the show, and so I normally go out for like 6 months, and so that's one of the things where I have to go. But as far as everything else, man,
doing stage shows or stage show, television? Shows?
Both. We're going to stage.
When's the next TV show?
Mum's the word.
Mum's the word.
Which okay. Backwards is mum. So
backwards, yeah.
And it's a magazine okay. For magicians.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't really say when it is, but yeah we're working on.
We're actually working on one.
Yeah, we're working.
There will be something coming
soon. Yeah.
Okay. Is he going to be doing something like with celebrities like he usually does?
It's good popcorn. You know that? It's popcorn's amazing.
Popcorn's amazing. You are amazing, Danny. Okay. Yeah, mum's the word. Okay. So, going back, you're not going to spill any of the beans. I'm going to drink.
I'd be out of a job, bro. That's why I do what I do.
Have it in the martini.
Get him free. But we're working hard, man. We're working hard.
Yeah.
Getting ready to hit the ground running really bad. But when I
want to get into the poster. You know, the last poster he had was
amazing poster.
Was I think on the standing on the telephone pole or something.
Oh wait, you don't have the latest poster?
No.
Oh, all right. We'll talk when this turns off. I'll get you another poster.
What's the latest one?
From Real or Magic. There's a poster for the Bullet Catch where we did a whole like.
No, I don't
scene.
Have that.
Oh yeah, man. There's I think three more posters after the one you're talking about.
Wow.
Yeah,
okay.
There's a secret poster. Also, on the back of one of the posters. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Okay.
Wait, did I just say that? Oh, no. I forgot the definition of mum.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a secret.
Yeah, man. So it'll be we'll get you hooked up. It'll be
awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
It'll be good. He's got the best posters.
Because I want to put these in Magic Island.
They're the best, right? He has the best posters.
Because when the Magic Island opens, whatever I want to post some posters.
Yeah.
That I've had framed. I've had a few of the David Blaine posters.
Oh, yeah. They're so good, man.
They are awesome.
So good.
Yeah. And he has signed some of those.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to have those framed and posted there at
the
Magic
Island. We get done with this, I'll tell David, I'll just go out. I'll tell him, hey, man, Magic Island's reopening. You know, they'd love to sign posters, and I'm sure he'll send whatever.
We will frame them and post them.
He's amazing like that. He's awesome.
We'll put, like, screws in the wall so they don't take them off the wall.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah, it'll be good. That'll be awesome.
Wow, really?
Yeah, of course.
You're the best, Danny. Thank you.
No worries at all.
So, anyhow, so you were working, of course, with David, but you got other kinds of things. And so talking about Rico de la Vega. So,
uh-huh.
You got some other things kind of coming up. So what is your newest thing that you're kind of working on right now?
Oh, right now, as far as consulting?
Yes.
Or as far as consulting-wise, it'll be the newest will be David will be next. So that starts in about a month. We've already kind of started talking about different ideas and what we're going to do. But we'll kind of hit the ground in about a month. Other than that, I finished up helping Lu Chen out in China.
Lu Chen is fantastic.
He's amazing.
He's an illusionist, right?
He's an amazing close-up magician. Amazing. Yeah. And his thinking, like, it's really refreshing whenever you work with somebody and that person really wants to get into the psychology and why we do certain things and how do we enhance magic by certain psychological elements. And people, you know, the average magician doesn't really think like that, right? Or doesn't they stop thinking too early, I believe, right? And it's great.
Too early, right.
Great to work with somebody that is like, and, yes, and, yes, and, yes, and. It opens up and creativity just starts blossoming, man. It's just, we'll be in that room for 10 hours, just
right.
Ideas, ideas, ideas. And he's got an amazing team of five, four or five guys
wow.
There.
That must
and
be
it's
what a room.
We'll come up with an idea, and then he'll leave and go to his team, and they'll build a little mock-up real fast, and then we'll test out kind of, it's amazing, man. It's really, really good. So he's doing that, and then I just help out, you know, the thing about consulting is, you know, you're a ninja, you're non-existent, you don't, you know, you're a shadow, so you bounce in and out, you go help, you give your 2 cents, you polish as much as you can, make it as shiny as it can be.
Well, now you had a really good idea recently that was the thing that's really popular that is the tin,
Mint box. Yeah.
Tell me about the mint box.
It did amazing, man. It did incredible. It was.
Are you really proud of how that really.
Extremely. I'm not proud of how it sold. I'm just proud of the product.
The process.
The product.
The product.
Yeah. The selling. I could care less if it sold nothing and if it sold like. The fact that I was able. It was the first fully funded product by me. I didn't have any production companies help me out. Nobody owned it except for myself. I was able to hire my parents to build it, to keep like money in the family.
Dad,
like
nice
my parents are amazing. And it's like,
yeah.
And for me, it was like one of those things where they've supported me since I was so young,
yeah.
Like unconditionally.
You know, it's like
you could be a doctor or a magician. You go to a magician,
yeah,
I'm
go
in
for
all 100%.
It. Exactly, 100%. And never was there, you sure you don't want to be a doctor?
Yeah.
It was, this is what you want, you love it, it makes you happy.
I'm with you.
And so this was the first, I mean, I'm, you know, I'm 37 right now, so it was like, and I started production when I was 36, and so I was like, I now, you know, 31 years after me starting Magic, I can now give you money to help something that you fully helped me with, and it was—I'm trying not to cry right now because it was so amazing. It was just—it was a big thing, and being able to just show—you know—I wanted to show magicians, like in the trailer. You don't have to put, you know, quotes. You don't have to do that. You don't have to. It's like I wanted the product to speak for itself. I wanted the demo to speak for itself. I wanted, you know, so everything. I got to just do everything the way I want to do it, whether it was right or not, and whether it worked or not. I had full control, and that was really special to me. So. Yeah, I love
that
it.
Done pretty well?
It sold out. We're it's pretty much done. It's not.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I did a lot. I did
a
lot.
Penguin?
It was me.
You.
So what I did is I outsold to other people. So I sold to Penguin with Theory 11 first and said, look, you get a month exclusive,
right,
and then just let me sell it after that. And that was it. So I still own everything. They were able to release it. Both Penguin and Theory were able to release it the same day. And I made sure to call them. I said, look, I don't want anybody to have an advantage. I don't want, it's like, I understand there's business, but you know what, I love Magic, and I want everybody to have this product, I want whoever wants it. So I was able to, I was very honest and very transparent with them, and told them, hey, look, I want to do this, I want to do that, I want to be able to tell when it's going to drop. Nobody has any advantage over anybody, like, everything's even field. Just you, the product speaks for itself, so, and I was very lucky and very fortunate to be able to do that.
Have you got something new coming out next?
I don't want to, like, solidify it on this, but I think I'm going to do my build change next is I think what I'm going to do. So I have it's a slow motion build change I do, where you rub...
1 to 100 kind
of thing? It's a 1 to 20, or 1 to... It's 1 to anything, actually.
Whatever
size, it can be different sizes, so I can go from small build to large build. It can go from large build to small. It can do anything. So, but the cool thing is you can do it, stop halfway, show both sides halfway as it's changed, and then continue to do the change after that.
Huh.
So, yeah.
So it's not like the normal Kozlowski or Roger Klaus, mm-hmm, kind of a change.
No thumb tip.
Yeah.
Everything is very open. There's no excess motion, no excess movement. Everything is extremely justified. Every move is justified. Everything's very, very slow. And you get that kind of that halfway point of after half of it's been changed, they see 101. You can show both sides 101, continue to change, and then hand it out for examination. So,
because when you and I really got to know each other, you worked at you kind of performed every once in a while over at Frankel's, and with Scott Hollingsworth, and you were kind of doing some of those kinds of magic things over there at the counter.
Yeah,
way back when in Houston.
I loved it, man. That was one of my favorite times.
And you were like a 16 or 17?
Yeah, about. I think that was when I first started.
Now, when I bought Torn from you, I remember I invested in that. I said, you know, I think that Torn is a fantastic trick.
Thank you, man.
And I said, I knew that this guy is going someplace.
Oh, thanks.
And I paid for that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That was a Roger Klaus, man. It was TAOM in Houston.
Yeah.
So just a real quick way that happened, just so I don't take up too much of this digital space. Alex, you know, my best friend Alex.
Yeah.
I showed Alex.
Guy. I love Alex.
And Alex said, you need to sell this. And I had no interest in doing it. So in 24 hours, I borrowed $100 from my parents. I had $100 in my name. We filmed, edited, duplicated 200 copies in 24 hours
on VHS
in 24 hours. At the time, nobody was selling single trick DVD or videos.
Right.
And so I said, it's going to be this one trick for $40, which people said I was crazy. And I sold out at that convention. I went up to Roger Klaus. He did Midnight Madness.
Right.
I went up, and he was very fortunate to be a friend of mine. I said, I've got this trick that I want to show people. He said, you got it. Put me on the bill. I did the trick, and then I got really nervous, and I ran up there afterwards because I jumped off stage after. And I ran up.
How old was that?
19, 18, yeah, something like that. And I ran up, and I said, oh, by the way, I'm selling that. It's on a VHS. It's $40. I put it down, walked out, went outside. I heard commotion, and then just a flood of people came out, and just boom, boom.
It was awesome.
I sold out instantly. I split the money evenly with all my friends. Thank you guys so much. There was a flyer for Las Vegas Magic Invitational that was sitting on a table next to us. I look at it. Everybody looks at it with me. They all look up. Everybody hands me all the money back. They said, let's do it again. Funded the trip. We took off to Vegas.
Wow.
Launched my career, man. Yeah. Insane. It was awesome.
Danny, you're awesome. The best.
Oh, I love you, man. Well, thanks,
bud.
I love you too, man.
I could do a whole podcast, and I will later with Danny sometime at a later date.
You're very sweet. You're very, very sweet.
This is Danny Garcia, and you guys know him. You love him. Thanks very much, Danny.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
So for the Magic Podcast, I'm Danny Garcia. This is Scotty out. Okay, this is really late at night, and we've had a lot to drink.
You guys have. I haven't.
And I'm here with Danny Garcia, and he's going to show us the trick that can't be explained, right?
Close. I'm going to show you. Can I explain the napkin? Oh, perfect, man. Thank you so much. I'm going to show you. I was explaining just a concept of magic. So, the trick that can't be explained necessarily isn't a trick. It's more of a concept of philosophy, right?
Okay.
So I was just explaining to this gentleman here. What was your name again, buddy?
Joe.
Danny. Nice to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you.
That you can apply this to any effect. Because what it does is it now cancels out method, and it makes your finale unexplainable, basically, right? Because there's multiple outcomes.
Got it.
Which you shouldn't say before the trick starts, but
no, you wouldn't.
But for you guys,
it's
that's
late at night at Magic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's okay.
It's
after midnight. The cards are shuffled.
Good. That actually doesn't matter. I just
okay. Fair enough. All right.
You don't have to shuffle, sir. Let's go with. Do you have a favorite card? We'll go. I just need three. I need three red and three black is what I need. So let's do this.
Okay.
Let's go with black, and I don't want to repeat. None of those are repeating, yeah.
Yeah. No,
and you have a favorite of the reds? Those are kind of
hearts. I like Queen of Diamonds.
The Queen, the last one.
Yeah.
Boom. And then whichever one next.
We'll go Five of Hearts. Is that cool?
The five.
Yeah.
Good to you.
Yeah.
So everything's good.
Everything's great.
So I obviously have no idea what the order of a shuffled deck is.
Yes.
But I know that I have six cards.
Yes.
And I know there's no more, no less. Yes. I also know that there's two spaces in between these cards, right?
Yes.
So I've got a space in between the queen, a space in between the five, correct?
Yes.
I also know, just randomly, hopefully, if this works out, that I can place every single card alternating, and I can keep this very, very clean. So now you know what the order is, right?
Yeah.
So these were red.
Those were the red, yes.
And these
those
were
the black,
all right? I'm not going to do anything or try to do any secret moves. I'm going to do this very, very slow so you can see it. We'll verify. So I've got red followed by black followed by
red,
followed by black followed by. But that's not what I want. What I want is red, red, red.
Queen.
Followed by very black. Followed by. I like Scott's eyes,
nice
actually. Scott.
Nice.
We'll do it again. Here. Let's do this. Same exact thing. All right.
Wow,
we're gonna go with black first. All right. Injog, red.
They're face down now.
Now they're face down. It's like magic on the radio.
Yeah. Right.
This is
black
followed by
red.
Boom. And then, and we'll spread these out
they're
so you can see that I don't move anything.
Alternating.
Right.
So face down.
Red. Black.
Black, red, black.
Oh, no, I'm
red,
sorry. Black, red, black, red, black.
Red.
Red. Good.
They're alternating black face down.
Everything seems clear?
Yes.
Yep. You square them up.
So far so good.
Yep.
But that's not what I want.
It's not
what
you
want.
What
I want is...
You want them to be...
Black, followed by red. But still, you know what? I'm manipulating the cards. So we'll do the last thing in our imagination.
Okay.
Shuffle those up. Give them a good mix. I don't want to know what...
So he's mixing them up.
Yeah, I'm mixing up the six face-down cards.
Completely.
All right.
Mix him.
Are you good?
I'm great.
So the whole thing's going to be in our imagination, all right?
Okay.
So imagine...
And you're looking them face-down.
Exactly.
You have no idea.
And this is what I do. We're going to split these in half.
Three and three.
All right? Imagine those are black.
Black, okay.
Perfect. And these are...
Red.
Perfect. So if that's a...
Black.
And this is a...
Red.
And this is a...
Black.
And this is a?
Red.
And this is a?
Black.
And this is a?
Red.
Perfect. So if I square those up.
No way.
Oh, come on.
No, this is not possible.
Come on.
I don't know what that
you
is.
You will not be able to.
No.
But I know what I want it to be.
You didn't even change the order.
I want them to be black.
No,
followed by red.
Danny, that's impossible.
Just like the deck, I don't know what the order is. I know what I want it to be. I want it to be black.
Oh, come on.
No, come on.
Okay, the whole deck is separated into reds and blacks.
Yeah, black.
I just I shuffled. He hadn't touched them since he took out the cards.
That is
no, did you when I was shuffling? No, you didn't. I was shuffling these. They were.
Oh, I'm blown away. Awesome. Danny,
I'm sorry if I swore on the magic word, Scott Wells. I don't know if I swore. I'm sorry if
you should have, because yeah, that was amazing.
Yeah.
You've really blown me away, Danny.
Thanks, man. Thank you so much.
Is that your own deal?
Yeah, of course.
That is beautiful.
Thanks, man.
And I'm sorry if the head of the youth program just swore on the magic word. I apologize to any parents listening.
That was awesome.
It was worth it.
You are wicked evil.
It was
evil.
Worth it. Thank you for showing that to me.
Thank you, Danny.
Yeah, of course.
That was wonderful.